You know, one of the things I've noticed, and I think you probably are on the same page as me on this, is that our society loves to distract from what really matters, right? And this is a common debate tactic. If you've ever watched politicians speak, they're asked a question, and they don't answer the question. They will speak on talking points, right? You all know what I'm talking about. So they'll be asked a direct question. Did you have knowledge of the such and such? And the person will begin by not answering yes or no, you know, to the yes or no question. They will answer by explaining what they want you to hear. The same thing is true in customer service. Some of you are salespeople. You know that you need to get the person to feel or think or act a certain way, and it isn't necessarily the way they are thinking, feeling, or acting when they engage in their conversation initially with you. I had a conversation this week with customer service folks from the wireless company that we deal with, and it rhymes with Verizon, and I won't say the company's name, but that's what it rhymes with. And as you know, I was deployed for a few weeks to the Panhandle, and we had very spotty service up there. And this company, Verizon, said they would offer 3 months free service to anybody in the Panhandle, and so I called them on Army duty. And I said, hey, I'm in the Panhandle for the response, and I understand you're giving 3 months of free service. And they said, yes. And they said, it's just for the line that's in the hurricane zone. Got it. That's not a problem. We don't need, although I'd love free service for my wife and son and daughter, but got it. Three months for my line. And then I got home, and I noticed earlier this month that they had not applied the credit. They said they would apply $135 credit. And so I called them, and I talked with them, and the guy kind of argued with me. I'm sorry, it was on chat. This was on chat. And the guy kind of argued with me and said, well, I'm doing some research and your zip code is not in the affected area. I understand. I was deployed there with the Army, and I explained that I do not live in the affected zone. I was serving the affected zone, and the conversation didn't really seem to gain any traction. And so I reached out to him again this week via chat and also via Twitter. I found that if I kind of came at it, so I had two boxes open on my computer because I'm getting my credit. You know, they promised me money, and the the bill was higher than it should be because they promised me credit. And so I talked to one person on chat, and he began the conversation with, "Well, you don't live in the affected zone. Got it. Let me save you some time because I've had this conversation. I was there with the Army. If you look at my call records, I was trying to call from the Panhandle when I talked to you initially. You can see from my call records I was there. And then I threw in that another company." We'll call them B-Mobile, had a van out there with a portable tower. So this B-Mobile did a great job of responding, and it was right outside the emergency operations center, and I want my credit. And after, kind of some haggling and finagling, he said, okay, I thank you for a service. We've applied a $45 credit to your account. And I said, well, it's $135 because it was 3 months. Well, what you need to do is next month just contact us. We'll take the $45 off. And I said, no, that's not the way it works. Just apply the credit right now because I don't want to do this again in December. And his response was, well, this is a courtesy because you're serving with the military and we appreciate your service. So, this is a courtesy credit. And then I responded back, it's not a courtesy. You didn't have service up there. And I was getting a little heated. I was typing really fast, because he couldn't hear me. This is not a courtesy. This is a credit because you did really bad service. And B-Mobile had a, they had a tower there right outside the emergency operations center. So just giving my credit. And he explained, well, the way the billing system, I don't care how the billing system works. Just put $135 credit on there. Well, meanwhile, I had the window open with a Twitter rep. And my argument with a Twitter rep was way more compelling. And after some conversation, he said, we're going to give you $145 credit. So it went up. And I explained, well, they've already done a $45 credit. And so if you just go ahead and put the $100 on there, that would be great. And I think it was one of those, we just want you to stop talking to us things. Because they still gave me $145, so it ended up being $190. And if anybody from Verizon is listening to this podcast, which I doubt, thank you very much for that. But it was amazing during that conversation how it kept getting away from the issue. Y'all told me there'd be a credit. I just want the credit. That's all I want. This can be a two-minute conversation, but instead we're talking about courtesies and call us next month and do this and go on that and go here. And it was taking away from the main point. What really mattered was I just want the credit. And I feel like in Galatians, that is the conversation Paul is having with the folks in Galatia. We're going to read chapter 2 now. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. And I want you to be thinking about that the people he's arguing against, sort of in absentia, he's making this argument to the Galatians, they want to take the focus off of what really matters. What really matters is you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, full stop. That's it. Okay? It isn't works, it isn't acts, it isn't anything else. It is just faith in Jesus that saves. And he's arguing with people sort of theoretically, well, not theoretically, they were arguing in real life, but they were not arguing with Paul. He's making argument against those that would add something to the gospel. And so this is Galatians chapter 2. It's up on the screen. You can follow along your paper Bibles. It's also on the YouVersion app. Just look for events and pull up our event, and you'll be able to get the notes there. Paul says this, "Then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas, and Titus came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go." God revealed to me that I should go. Hold that thought for a second. "While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of the church and shared with them the message that I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fear that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. And they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, even though he was a Gentile." And just as a reminder, Gentile refers to anybody who's not Jewish. And so he was not circumcised. He was probably a Greek. And Paul's making this argument that even the church there, they didn't even ask that he be circumcised. He says, "Even that question came up only because some of the so-called believers there, false ones really, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in on us to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations. But we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We want to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. Instead, they saw that God has given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. The same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, as I've always been eager to do." So this morning, what I want to talk about for just a few minutes is to really focus on what mattered. Now, as we've been discussing over the past few weeks, is that Paul's making the argument that circumcision, and we could add any other religious tradition, it's contrary to the gospel. The gospel itself is simple. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. And through faith in him, you have a direct relationship with God. That's the gospel. Your sins are forgiven, and your life has direction and meaning. And so Paul is fighting against attempts to add stuff to the gospel. In this case, again, requiring circumcision to become a Christian. And we've talked over the past few weeks about, you know, ways in which we add stuff to the gospel as Christians today. He's building his case here in Galatians chapter 2 by talking about this visit to church leaders. And then later on, he speaks about James, Peter, and John in particular. He talked with them about his ministry, and they didn't ask his companion, Titus, to be circumcised. If James, Peter, and John, Paul's saying, didn't ask Titus, who was a Gentile, to be circumcised, certainly it's ludicrous for anybody to make the argument to the Galatians, this is Paul's reasoning, that people ought to be circumcised. Even the leaders of the church, Peter, whose ministry was to the Jews, even they didn't say that Titus had to be circumcised. So how in the world could these so-called believers... Paul uses the term pseudo-Adelphos. Adelphos is a Greek word for brother. Pseudo, well, you know, you probably know the word pseudo. Pseudo-something is a fake or false something. And so these are fake brothers, he calls them. Why did he call them that? I think he calls them that because if they didn't believe completely that God's saving grace comes only by faith in Jesus Christ, they aren't preaching the gospel. Let me take a time out here. If anybody preaches to you that you need something in addition to Jesus, they are false brothers. They're lying to you. And there are people that will come door to door and tell you, "Oh yeah, Jesus is important, but..." And what have we said for the last number of weeks? But negates what comes before. You need Jesus, but you got to live a good life. You need Jesus, but anything they say after that, you understand that they are showing their cards. They're telling you they do not believe in the core gospel. They do not believe that Jesus alone is enough. And that's what Paul's arguing against. You know, it can be circumcision. It can be, real Christians don't dance. You need to believe in Jesus and not dance. You need to believe in Jesus, but fill in the blank. It's either Jesus or it's not. Now, I'm not making the argument that Christians, as Christians, we have no ethics, we have no morals, we have no right or wrongs. That's not where I'm going. But what I'm saying is that to be a Christian is about faith in Jesus Christ. Stop. That's it. To be a Christian is to believe in Jesus. And then we can argue about how we ought to live our lives after that. But that is a response to what God has already done. Instead, these leaders, these church leaders, affirmed his responsibility to preach. It's interesting, the NLT uses the word responsibility. The word literally is entrusted. It's a better word than trusted. God had entrusted with him, had entrusted in him the ability to use the gospel. And by the way, that word entrusted is the same word we use for faith or believe. Pistuo is the root there. And so God had faith in Paul to preach the gospel. God had faith in Paul to preach the gospel. So they encouraged him to keep on preaching. But they also encouraged him to remember the poor. Again, the word that the New Living Translation uses is help. To help, to remember the poor. So keep on preaching gospel and remember the poor. Preach and serve. At Beachside, that same call is for us. Preach and serve. Preach and serve. Preach and serve. Preach and serve. This is part of the reason we're a lean organization. We want to put our energy into what matters, right? We want to put our time into what actually God is calling us to do and not waste it on what doesn't matter. And so we as an organization are a permission-giving organization. Small groups? Absolutely. Go do it. Mission trip? I know. I'll ask. You always want to go? All right, let's go. Ministry of the Homeless? Elaine, we've talked about that. She came up to me a couple months ago. I don't know. Let's do it. Let's do Ministry of the Homeless. And now we're doing Ministry of the Homeless. Christmas parades? Where's Eric? Go. There he is. Yeah. Go figure it out. Let's do pro. We're doing one. Let's do two. Why not? I thought we were doing the one on December 8th, but we're doing the first. We found out a couple weeks ago. We're doing the first and the eighth because we are gluttons for parade punishment. I don't know about you, but I will always step out of the way for ministry. And my mentality is it's okay to try and fail. It's better than organizational lethargy, right? It's better to try something and fail than to not try it because we're afraid of failing. It's okay to try and fail. So let's go and do it. And I think this is one of the reasons, and those of us who have been around for more than like 9-10 months, that something's happening at Beachside. There's an organizational excitement. People are getting out and doing ministry. And I believe it's because you are going and doing. And so what I want to do is brings me to a special connection. And I'm gonna kind of give you a little bit of a backstory. Some of you heard Craig Alsep preach in January. He preached one of our last Sundays at Imagine School. And he's a missionary for an organization called Manna Worldwide. And he and I initially connected a few years back on Facebook. It was one of those weird random connections. And we started talking. And he said, hey, you know, we're at this organization, and I checked out the organization, did some research on it, and he said, I'm visiting churches. You want me to visit your church? I'm like, absolutely. Why not? Come have you preach. There might be like 10 people there, but why not? You know, come and preach, and, it'll be cool. And so he came and preached and did an awesome job, and it was great to make that kind of impersonal connection or in-person personal connection. And later on in the spring, we were talking, and he asked if anyone from Beachhead wanted to join a mission trip to Nepal. And as I've said before, what was I thinking? No, No one's going to go to Nepal. I mean, that's really far away. And we tried to do Cuba, and that didn't really work out. And so I put it out to the congregation, and suddenly we have a group going to Nepal. And so we've been kind of getting ready for this mission trip, which leaves in January. And we've got a group going, and we know that it's going to be incredible. We know that we've got people stepping into ministry. And so we fast forward. We've got this connection to Manna. Last month, I'm in the panhandle for hurricane duty. Nate is preaching at the beach and at 10 o'clock, and there was like 12 degrees at the beach. And there were like fewer than that. There were like 8 people there. And this weirdo, Alex, shows up. Like, hey, beach service, all right. I think was it with Urs and Terry? Okay, with Dad and Mom. And, you know, he connects. And he said to me, and I know I'm telling part of his story, you know, it was really cool. There was a young guy preaching, which would imply that I'm no longer a young guy because there was a young guy preaching. It was great. There was not a bald person preaching. You know, it was awesome. And so we start building this connection, and it turns out that Alex is going to Guatemala with Manna Worldwide and happens to know Craig, and we start building this connection. And it's what we in my business call a God thing. It's a very technical term. It's a God thing. Remember, and bring this full circle, Paul says that God told him to go to certain places. God said, go. I'm going to go. And I believe God is sending Alex to Guatemala. We met, and I asked him to speak to Beachside, and so you can blame me for what's about to take place. I'm sorry, Alex. I told him, you know, we don't have a big budget. We're a small church. We can't promise much support, but I'm an equipper and a connector. Church of the Cross, my first congregation, we supported City on the Hill Church when they planted, and they were one of our early supporters when we needed help here at Beachside. And so I believe in those connections. God opens those doors, and it's incredible what happens. So, Alex, would you come on up, and we're going to have you speak for a little bit here about your mission, and then we're going to spend some time talking as a group.
I moved in with my dad, and I was trying to figure out this next phase of my life. I attended this random service, met Nate. Nate was awesome in connecting me just as a younger male in the community to other people. Met his roommate, met Chris, and started coming to Beachside these last few weeks, just completely random. And when we found out there's a connection with Manna, it was one of those moments where you get chills. And I was like, that was why we were there, and that's why the old guy wasn't there that day, and that's why... That's why Nate was preaching. He really has connected us through Beachside. So if you go to the next slide, it kind of puts us here with this God idea. That's where I want to begin. And so about 2.5 years ago, I studied abroad in Guatemala for 10 weeks. And I was learning Spanish, and I was tutoring in schools. And it was one day I was reading this book called Draw the Circle. And in this book by Mark Batterson, one day talks about don't pray for good ideas. Don't pray for how to get rich quick. Don't pray for your own endeavors. Don't pray just kind of your own self-gain. But pray for what this God idea is, this idea that God wants for your life. And it was at that moment, that morning, I felt immediately convicted that I wanted to return to Guatemala. I needed to be back in Guatemala to start a school. I know nothing about starting a school. I know some things with business. I had some internships that were pretty cool, but nothing about school. But I knew I wanted to use education as the platform to help rescue kids from poverty. And so as I was doing internships and looking at full-time job offers, entering corporate America, I realized this isn't me. I don't want to be here. And kind of threw all that to the side and found a company called Niños de Guatemala. I was ready to wing it. I booked a flight. I found the company. I had a start date. I had a host family. And I had my plan. That's kind of when a lot of life happened quick, and God was kind of like, hey, it's not your plan. This is my plan. It's God's idea, not your idea. It all came back and intersected with a company called Manna Worldwide. Was not supposed to connect with them, was not trying to connect with them. I was speaking at an event for a nonprofit in Ohio, and this guy reached out to me. And we talked about how we could collaborate in the future, how Niños de Guatemala and Manna Worldwide could one day connect. And that conversation eventually turned into, why don't you put your plans on hold and come on board with us? I felt immediately connected. I wanted to grow this mission. And the part that's crazy is we go to the next slide, I get my first assignment. And as I said, 2.5 years ago, I felt compelled to start a school. They randomly reached out and said, your first job is starting a trade school. You're going down there and you're starting a jobs training program. You're going to help high school students create opportunity. We're talking about a community that's 80% in poverty. community that if they have a job, they're typically hillside farming for less than $6 a day. So we're going down there in San Rafael, El Dorado, and providing opportunities, helping people learn how to farm coffee, how to grow coffee, how to roast it, how to sell it. We're teaching them how to build, how to use construction, how to use that as a tool. Helping them not just become more employable, not just create jobs, but become entrepreneurial. How do they take these opportunities, these jobs, to provide longevity and provide long-term support for this community to help them break out of poverty, to give them a chance to break free and help provide? Outside of the jobs training program, there's a really cool organization called Mango Tree Coffee, a subsidiary with MANA, where we are taking all this coffee that's sold in the States, opening a new coffee shop in Guatemala, launching that, and every bit of proceeds comes back into the company to help them, specifically the new orphanage, giving kids hope, giving kids a family, giving kids opportunity to see marriage, to see mentorship, to see guidance through the critical years of high school. Then lastly, again, like you all going to Nepal in January, there's trips that go to Guatemala. So when those trips come down, helping lead those trips, guide those trips, helping people see change and see God work in Guatemala. So why I'm here is I'm here to ask for support. And there's three main buckets in which I'm asking for support. The first one's financial. My link's there. We're trying to raise this money in 3 months. Our goal is 3 months, raise the money that we're required to raise and get on the ground and start making change and impacting lives. However, I don't want anyone just to feel like they're giving blind. There's a sheet that's at the Welcome Center, I believe, or being passed around now, that has contact information on it for you to fill out. There's boxes to check. If one of those boxes where you find interest is in financial support, I would love for you to check that box, and we can sit down more and talk about what that looks like, what our vision is, how you can help, and how you can grow. The second one is through prayer support. If you don't want to give financially, you're unable to give, I understand that's okay, and I still want you to be a part of this journey. I want you to receive the newsletters, the updates, see the changes we're making, see the lives we're impacting, see the kids who are going to school creating jobs and growing and providing sustainable life for them and their families. So you want to be part of the prayer support, part of the newsletter updates, please check that box, and I look forward to connecting with you there. And the third one is through references. If you know people, you know individuals, you know those who want to be part of the journey, want to be part of something greater to help expand God's kingdom, I'd love to meet with those individuals as well and talk about what that looks like. So in closing, I want to say thank you all. Thank you all for allowing me to speak. Thank you for welcoming me into Beachside these last few weeks. As a kind of a northern outsider who's really enjoying this warm weather because it's 20 degrees up north, I just appreciate you guys welcoming me in. Over these next few months, as I raise my funds, I'll be back and forth between Ohio and Florida. But I look forward to growing with you all, connecting with you all, staying in this warm weather, and learning more about Beachside and you all as individuals as I prepare on this journey. So thank you.
I'm just going to talk for a few minutes, and then you know if you have questions, you know I'm going to solicit them. Talk a little more about the trade school. You're going down there to launch it, or I mean, are you going to be, because you've got this organizational management degree? And so are you going to be sort of the director of it? Are you going in? Have they already started? Or what is the status of the school?
Yeah, so the school is something that it's still in the works. We're still figuring out what this curriculum looks like. Is it going to be, we have connections with construction down there. We have connections with the barbershop. We have some connections, and we're looking at how to utilize these connections. And additionally, when people come down on these service trips, what skills do they offer that they can teach that we can that can become sustainable economic markets? And so my role specifically in that is a lot of the background work with what areas we're going to do. What does this curriculum look like? How do we get kids there? How do they become there? Once they're in there, how do we partner them with jobs? So kind of a lot of the business side, the administrative side of launching the school, not as much of the creative and the construction of the school is going to be my role as we look to find kids, to pair them with opportunities for them to raise money and for their community.
And it seems to me, I was thinking as you were speaking, you know, we've had, and I know people have different kind of political viewpoints about it, but we've got this caravan of people that have come up from Central America, and many of them are from Guatemala. And you were saying 80% of the population is in poverty. And so you think about the fact that this, you know, creating jobs for folks there and creating sustainable employment, you use the word sustainable, is a huge part of, you know, we may look at this and say, it's Guatemala, it's Nepal, it's far away. Well, it's not. I mean, because it's, you know, if we don't care for them as the church, who will? And, you know, I'm personally of the philosophy that I'd rather have the church doing it than the government. And so we have people going down there and saying, okay, let's provide education and economic opportunities where you live, and maybe, you know, prevent some of the challenges of people feeling like they need to go 2,000 miles in a caravan because there are no opportunities where they live. You also mentioned an orphanage, and just maybe talk a little bit about that. Is it an existing orphanage? Again, just like the fair trade school, is the orphanage existing, and how many kids are there? What do you know about it?
Yeah, so two things. One, just to clarify, the village we're staying in El Dorado, that's the one 80% poverty. Guatemala as a whole is about 50%, not trying to skew numbers or make things seem worse. But yeah, 50% of Guatemala is in poverty and 80% in our village. Regarding the orphanage that we're visiting, that we're starting, it's on the coffee farm. So I mentioned mango tree coffee. God has provided MANA with a large coffee farm in Guatemala. On this coffee farm, they're going to build an orphanage. It's really cool how this orphanage is going to be set up. It's going to be in family-style structures. There's an orphanage in Oklahoma they're kind of replicating. And in this, it's for junior high school students are going to get put into a family-style structure with a husband and wife and get to see kind of what love looks like, get to see what parents look like, get to see mentorship and guidance. So it's not going to be your typical orphanage where it's just a bunch of kids kind of being overlooked by multiple people, but rather it's going to be small-knit, tight-knit family structures where they kind of get that feel of a family. So that hasn't been launched yet. They just got the land in Guatemala. It's going to be in partner with Mango Tree Coffee, and so they're growing the coffee on this farm. Kids are going to attend the trade school. And they're going to learn how to grow the coffee, how to roast the coffee, how to sell the coffee. They're opening up a new coffee shop. So a lot of new things are happening between the orphanage, the coffee shop, the school. That's the biggest thing that MANA is running into. They don't have the people support down there. So I'm getting tossed into a exciting fire of just starting things and growing things and getting to see how God will work. And so it's really cool to go back to the orphanage, mainly junior high school students getting put into these structures to grow and to help these kids in the critical parts of their life as they prepare to obtain these jobs and start their adult life.
Very cool. And I'm excited about the mission trips connection. You know, we're doing the one to Nepal, which I talked about in the sermon. And I'm excited to know that we'll be able to connect with you about potentially doing trips down to Guatemala, because one of the things as a pastor, you need to kind of tell the congregation, you know, I see the changes that take place, and I've seen this over the last 20 years, when people go on mission trips, and they come back transformed. And the mission trip is not just for the people we're serving, but it's also for the people that are going, because they come back transformed for, you know, because they've gone and served, and they've seen God at work in their lives. And one of the most difficult things is to have a reliable connection. Well, where are we going to go? And so now having not just a Nepal connection, but seeing this budding relationship in Guatemala is exciting to me. And so I'm excited that that's something you're going to be doing. Do we have questions from the congregation? I mean, if you don't, we're just going to sit here and look awkwardly at you for like 30 seconds. Do you have questions? Yeah, Linda. She's asking, is it already producing coffee, the mango tree?
So the farm is producing coffee, but Mango Tree is starting to take that coffee farm over. So yeah, they were given this land to start Mango Tree Coffee, and that Mango Tree is already selling coffee in the United States. They're located in Denver. They have a coffee shop there, and they sell it and they distribute it out of Denver now. They're just expanding their operation, expanding the coffee farm, and adding the orphanage to it. But yes, there's already Mango Tree Coffee is already a thing. There's a website for it online. They do sell coffee. If you like coffee, you can buy Mango Tree Coffee. That is already there. They're just growing the operations to expand the store in Guatemala and also expand the operations and the capability to distribute in the United States. Will I own it? No. Yeah, it's going to be divided. So MANA as a whole is going to be overseeing all these operations. They're going to be overseeing, there's a bakery in Guatemala, there is multiple feeding centers, there's churches, there is the orphanage and coffee farm. That MANA oversees all of it. I'm not going to be in direct ownership of any of it where I'm profiting or any capacity like that. I'm going to be the spearhead for a lot of these projects, but no direct ownership by any means. That will all fall under the MANA umbrella. Yes. They are a subsidiary of MANA, and it's a Christian company. And all the proceeds that are raised from Mango Tree get dumped back into MANA for different projects and different activities within Guatemala.
That's a good question, Linda. Thank you. What else? Got any other questions about the mission, about manna? I know Craig has been here to speak about manna, and we've already got some familiarity with him.
So my main role, like I said, is going to be with the trade school. That's going to be my main spearhead. However, I'll be interjecting into the orphanage that kicks off, interjecting as we open the new coffee shop in Guatemala. There is a bakery, and currently the bakery is owned by, or not owned, but operated by a man and a woman. The man who's from Minnesota and the woman who's from Guatemala, they kind of got tossed into that one. Their expertise is in construction. They own a construction company down there. So they're trying to back out of the operations, the day-to-day operations of that. So I'm hoping to put to use the business degree to help run some of these businesses and see part. They're bringing in a missionary family to run the orphanage itself. I'll be interjecting kind of with some mentorship roles in the orphanage, some guidance with the coffee shop and the bakery, but most of my time initially will be invested in starting this trade school.
Well, if it's somebody from Minnesota, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they want to replace that person. All right, any other questions? Well, what I want to do is we're going to pray for Alex before we go ahead and do our prayer time. We're going to pray for you specifically and for the mission of manna worldwide. And that list is, I think, still going around. If you want to connect with Alex, okay, Jill is back there. So we'll continue during the prayer request time to pass that around. Alex is going to be around after the service, and any questions you didn't want to ask from the group, ask him. One of the things that he talked about with me, he talked about briefly, was if you have references, if there are people in town you think you ought to talk to so-and-so, just check that box and get with Alex and talk about, you know, if there is a business or an individual that you know is connected to missions or might be somebody Alex ought to talk to, possibly as a supporter or just a mentor or prayer support, that sort of thing. Please check that box, and then he'll follow up with you over the coming weeks. Does that sound good?
Yes, sir. Thank you all. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, let's pray. Would you stand up? And why don't you join in? Why don't you stand up and join me in prayer? Father, we are so grateful for these God connections. We thank you for Alex as saying yes to stepping forward to serve. We thank you for the ministry of Manna Worldwide. We thank you for those who are going on mission trips as it is right now. We thank you, Lord, for this budding connection in Guatemala. We pray, Lord, that you would watch over and provide for Alex financially, that you would prepare him for the mission field ahead, that, Lord, you would bless the nation of Guatemala, that they would come to know you more and more. People would come to know you as Lord and Savior, and that through their efforts, through their work, they would not just provide economic sustainability right now, but more importantly, Lord, that they would preach the gospel. And so be with them as they do that, as they minister to people in trade schools and orphanages and coffee shops and around the nation of Guatemala. Bless them, bring them out of poverty, not just financial, but spiritual poverty as well. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say, amen. All right. Thank you, Alex.